This is BI Radio.
There's a lot of companies that are still struggling just with getting broad-scale reporting out.
Well, I would argue that predictive analytics is really at the heart of the Smarter Planet strategy, because without analytics, you can't be smart.
Typically, the problem that people have is they know too much data, not too little. It's that they're caught up in a lot of variables that are irrelevant.
Hi there, and welcome to BI Radio. I'm Ken Seeley. On the show today, a full report from Rome. Delaney Turner went to SPSS Directions and Information on Demand and came back with the latest news about business analytics and predictive analytics, as well as some insights into making predictions without a crystal ball. We learn about the short and long-term vision for IBM Business Analytics from General Manager Rob Ash. And we learn about the role of predictive analytics within that vision from SPSS CEO and IBM Vice President Deepak Abani. But first up, the art and science of predicting the future. Delaney Turner talks to renowned political scientist and TED conference speaker Bruce Bueno de Mesquita about the core elements at play and the key questions to ask when you need to know what's going to happen next.
Hi, I'm Delaney Turner with IBM. Today, I'm speaking to Bruce Bueno de Mesquita. Dr. de Mesquita is the author of The Predictioneer's Game, the Silver Professor of Politics at New York University, a senior fellow at Stanford University's Hoover Institution, and according to Foreign Policy Magazine, one of the 10 most influential political scientists in the foreign policy arena.
A lot of what I've read about your work and your material and your presentations is that, see, life is a game, and the word game comes up a lot. It sounds fun, but it can also be scary. I'm just wondering if you could explain what you mean by that.
Sure. I mean, people use things like they're gaming the system and so forth very casually. I take that very seriously. Games are just strategic interactions. They're people dealing with each other, trying to anticipate how the other person will react if you do this or you do that, trying to work out what's the best thing to do. So, yeah, pretty much all of life is social interaction, and so all of life is a game, or many games, actually.
Right. So the other interesting thing that came from your TED Talk is you said most complicated negotiations are actually predictable. I was wondering if you could just explain a bit of what you meant by that.
Yeah, once you identify what it is that people say they want, not not necessarily what they really want, but what they say they want, you can work backwards to what would be the safest position for them to take, what would be the riskiest position for them to take. And so you can begin to build a system to infer what are they likely to do in interacting with others, and since they're pursuing their self-interest and everybody else is pursuing their self-interest, they become quite predictable. I have modeled thousands of negotiations, trivial things, very big things, and I get about 90% of them right, so apparently they're quite predictable.
Right.
People are not as mysterious as we like to think.
How do people react when you mention that? Because I sense from different corners, as you must too, a resistance. People want to think that they're special and unique. And how do you respond to that?
Yeah, people are skeptical, but there's a track record. And, you know, if you believe in data analysis, then look at the data.
Yeah.
See the evidence.
I guess if you're in a business scenario, you're going to need that. You know, if you could say, I can predict 90% accuracy what's going to happen in your particular market, like that would be welcome.
Well, you would think. So I find it a much easier sell, so to speak, in my consulting services in the private sector than in the public sector, where there's not a bottom line. I don't do market research. I don't predict markets. But I do predict very complex problems in, for example, legislative environments, regulatory environments, litigation, mergers and acquisitions. But the accuracy rate is higher in those cases because the people I'm working with have pretty high quality data. They know their problem. They just don't know. They don't have a method for working out from the data where things are headed. And they're much more receptive because they do have a bottom line.
Right. Well, let's go into that method now. You said that regardless of the topic or the outcome that you're looking at, there are a couple of core elements that you need to look at in your model. I was wondering if you could just explain those for us.
So first of all, people almost never come to me with a question that is a modelable question. They'll come to me in the government context and say, well, is Pakistan going to be stable?
Right.
I model decisions. Nobody sits around and decides, what do you think? Should we be stable this year or this is a good year to be unstable? Mm-hmm. So I backtrack, say, right, well, why are you concerned about stability? What are the specific issues? Or somebody will come to me about a litigation. Mm-hmm. Should we settle or should we fight it?
Right.
I'm first of all not an attorney, and second of all, the answer to that question depends on, well, what will the settlement look like? And so let's talk about what the issues are that need to be settled. Those are things about which decisions have to be made. So once we've framed what are the questions that require decisions, then all I need to know is who are the players? Who's going to try to influence the decision? Not just who's sitting at the table to sign a piece of paper, but the people down the line who'll try to influence it.
Right.
What do they say they want? How influential could they be if they tried as hard as they could? How focused are they on the problem? That is, how willing are they to try hard? How willing are they to drop what they're doing when the issue comes up rather than something else? And how flexible are they? How committed are they to coming to an agreement as being the important outcome, even if it's not the agreement they want, versus how resolved are they to stick to the position they believe in, even if it means going down in a blaze of glory, getting nothing? Most people, of course, fall in between.
Right.
So if you know flexibility, focus, influence, position, it turns out you can predict how people will interact with each other, who's willing to make more compromise, who's more rigid, who's bluffing, who's not bluffing. And you can, A, work out where things are headed, and B, more importantly, you can then step back and work out ways to engineer getting a better result.
Right. These are obviously things that you can model.
Yes. People know these data if this is a problem they focus on. Typically, the problem that people have is they know too much data, not too little. It's that they're caught up in a lot of variables that are irrelevant. And so they don't cut to the chase and see the fundamentals of the problem. It's very much the same problem, of course, in statistical analysis. You know, you pack the kitchen sink into a statistical model, you can explain an awful lot of variance, but you're not going to do very well out of sample.
Right, right. What are you working on now? What predictions, what can you talk about that people are coming at you with?
Well, first of all, prediction and this model is not my main research area.
Okay.
Hasn't been for quite a while, although I have spent the last few years designing a new forecasting model, which has this flexibility variable in it and is much more powerful than my old model. But my main research is on how governance institutions, whether in governments or in corporations or in families or in clubs or whatever, shape incentives and affect whether or not the leaders of an organization keep their jobs for a long time or a short time, govern well from the perspective of, so to speak, their citizens, or govern poorly. Basically, what these models indicate is that the worse the job that you do in quality of governance for a broad set of people, and the fewer people who you depend on to stay in power, the more likely you are to stay in power for a long time.
So a bad job with few people reporting to you.
Bad policy is often good politics,
right.
Sad to say. And that model has been applied to some quite concrete, real practical problems, such as predicting corporate securities fraud, and has been very successful at that. So that's my main avenue of research right now. I am doing quite a bit of predictive work as well for clients, and I can't tell you about any of that. Sorry.
That's perfectly great. Thanks for taking the time to speak with us today.
It's my pleasure. Thank you for taking the time.
Excellent.
You can learn more about Dr. DeMesquita's ideas at predictioneersgame.com.
IBM Cognos Forum and SPSS Directions are now Business Analytics Forum. See the future of decision-making at our new annual conference for Cognos and SPSS customers, October 24th to 27th at the Mandalay Bay Resort in Las Vegas. Register before August 1st and save $500. Learn more at ibm.com/events/BA Forum. From business intelligence to business analytics and all points in between, this is BI Radio.
Hi, I'm Delaney Turner with IBM. With me is Deepak Advani, Vice President of Predictive Analytics at IBM and CEO of SPSS, an IBM company. Today, we're talking about the increasing influence of predictive analytics in business decision-making and business outcomes.
If you, from your perspective, just let me know, what are the biggest challenges that our customers are facing today?
Yeah, I think if you look at customers in all industries, right, it's especially when the economy is tough as it is around the world right now, customers need to get really focused on who their customers are, right? Mm-hmm. Customer centricity. They need to understand who their most profitable customers are so they can attract more such customers to their product or to their company. They need to then retain those customers. Mm-hmm. And you also need to figure out, you know, how can you serve those customers better than your competition? Mm-hmm. All of these things require you to understand customer behavior very well. Mm-hmm. And, you know, used to be a lot of companies would do needs-based segmentations. And before that, you know, companies would segment customers based on the size of the company, which really wasn't very insightful. Mm-hmm. More and more companies are now trying to figure out how to segment customers based on their behavior. Mm-hmm. And once you start understanding that, that's when you start driving better business results. Mm-hmm. You start getting top-line growth, but it's not just the revenue growth. You're getting more profitable revenue growth.
Okay.
And of course, you also need to start worrying about minimizing risk and addressing issues like fraud. So from a SPSS point of view, predictive analytics point of view, what we see is a lot of customers are very, very interested in our products and our solutions to figure out how to do a better job of attracting the right type of customers to their business. How do you cross-sell all the offerings you have to those customers, and then how do you predict when they're likely to churn or likely to leave so you can take actions and keep those customers and keep them delighted with what you have to offer. And at the same time, also look at, are there more thoughtful ways to detect fraud before it happens? Mm-hmm. Are there ways to start getting a good handle on risk so you can manage risk more effectively?
Mm-hmm. So, what is decision management? This is this a product that would help customers address some of the challenges that you've raised?
At the end of the day, I think customers, they really need to understand how predictive analytics will help them improve their business process. Mm-hmm. How will it address a pain point that they have? And you know what we've seen over the last several years is customers would take predictive analytics and they would embed it within their business process, so they're making better decisions. They've done this for predictive maintenance. Mm-hmm. So how do you figure out, you know, when something is about to fail and take, you know, proactive action on it? They've done it in the insurance industry to start detecting fraud in real time, so they can take actions and reduce fraud. And there are companies out there. You know, they've adapted. So, like, one company is, how do I turn my call center into a sales channel? Mm-hmm. So as calls are coming in, I can propose the right offer to the right customer. Mm-hmm. So think of decision management as a framework that will enable you to make any decision a better decision through the use of predictive analytics.
Okay.
It has got a very easy-to-use a GUI that enables business users to build models. It's got the ability to not only rely on predictive models, but also simple rules.
Mm-hmm.
So you can optimize the decisions that you're making. It has the ability to simulate your actions. So before you deploy the combination of predictive models and business rules into production, you can also try it out to see what would the outcome had been had you deployed this model on your historical data. So there's a lot of different elements of this framework, but decision management in a simplest sense is a framework that enables you to embed predictive analytics into any point in your business process where a decision is being made.
Wow. So if we look a little broader, more broadly now, how does decision management predictive analytics fit into the overall business analytics strategy for IBM and perhaps into the big IBM vision of Smarter Planet?
Yeah, in order for a planet to be smart, you need smart organisms, you need smart corporations, you need smart governments, you need smart cities. And in order to be smart, you need to have analytics.
Right.
So I would argue that predictive analytics is really at the heart of the Smart Planet strategy or Smarter Planet strategy, because without analytics, you can't be smart.
Right.
And you can't make, and at the end of the day, in order to be smart, you need to make better decisions. And so it is really, really, and even when you look at all the messaging coming out of the Smarter Planet team, predictive analytics is at the core. So I believe it's a very, very good fit. And from a business analytics point of view, you know, when you look at the overall portfolio that we've built up over the years, whether it's, you know, planning or performance management or core BI, predictive analytics elevates all of those value propositions.
Right.
Because you're not just looking at what has happened in the past, and you're not just letting a human do a lot of what-if analysis. You've got mathematics that are looking for correlations in data and basically proposing what is likely to happen or what all of this data is telling you. So we believe it elevates the business analytics value proposition as well.
Why have predictive analytics up until now been sort of in the realm of the professional user? Does decision management and the future direction for SPSS within IBM, does that change the game for business users? Do they get to play with it as well?
Yeah, absolutely. I think one of the reasons why, you know, predictive analytics and data mining hasn't become mainstream, one of the big reasons is because, you know, it's been the domain of mathematicians and statisticians and these deep data mining experts. And we believe in order for data mining and predictive to become mainstream, you need business users to have the ability to build predictive models without having a PhD or even a bachelor's degree in statistics. And so what we are real excited about is with decision management, all of a sudden now we've opened up the aperture. A business user can now go off and build models, and they can do that pretty quickly using very simple point-and-click interfaces. But the beauty of the architecture is it's using the same underlying architecture and PMML interfaces and standards. So now a deep statistician and a data miner can collaborate with the business user. So the business user can build models using very simple interfaces. But if you want to optimize the model further by working with a data miner, you have the option to do that as well. So we really do believe that with decision management, predictive analytics starts to become more pervasive.
So you're bringing the business reality into the world of statistics.
Absolutely. So, you know, it's like all the, even when you go about building your predictive models and your business rules, you're doing it within the context of the industry you're in and the business problem you're trying to solve.
That sounds like it's an exciting, as you say, an exciting journey. We're just getting started. Deepak Advani, Vice President of Predictive Analytics at IBM, thanks for talking to us today.
Thank you very much.
To find out more about predictive analytics and better business outcomes, visit spss.com.
What if you could make the right decision every time? IBM Decision Management 6 makes it a reality for everyone in your organization. Three simple clicks are all you need. Combine predictive analytics with business rules to optimize the millions of decisions your users make every day. IBM Decision Management 6. Predictive analytics for better business outcomes. Learn more at spss.com. Ideas, insights, and opinions on business analytics. You're listening to BI Radio.
Hi, I'm Delaney Turner with IBM. Today I'm speaking with Rob Ash. Rob is General Manager of IBM Business Analytics.
We have a new division called Business Analytics within IBM Software Group. Looking forward towards, you know, the next half of the year and beyond, where do you really see that going?
Well, for the next half a year and beyond, You know, we're really focusing on really writing the business analytics strategy in a very, very broad canvas. Mm-hmm. We've, over the course of the last, you know, two and a half years, through the acquisition of Cognos and the acquisition of SPSS, and combined with a number of the organic activities that we've been able to pursue, we've really arrived at a point with such a broad set of capabilities across, you know, the traditional BI spectrum, you know, new capabilities that we've brought to market, the great capabilities that the SPSS team brings to us with predictive and advanced analytics. So our first goal as we look forward, you know, 6 months, but beyond that, is how to make sure that we write that strategy and that vision, you know, at the scale that only IBM can operate and execute, right? And, you know, we all know that IBM's focused on a smarter planet. We all know that there's no smarter without analytics. And so connecting those two things and the breadth of this platform is a key plank of our strategy. Expanding that strategy out further, heavy focus on solutions, solutions across the business to really, you know, I guess solutions is one way to think about it. It's really more focused on specific outcomes, specific outcomes in specific industries, functional areas. And we see that with, you know, workforce performance. We see that with sales performance, financial performance. We see that with social analytics and consumer insight. We see that with DM6, the newest release of SPSS, which, well, part of our set of capabilities is really a huge step forward towards, you know, creating contacts for these solutions, creating very specific outcome opportunities for these solutions. So the area, the whole focus around solutions is really a key part of how we step out. And then thirdly, as we look to the next generation of business analytics, and as we will begin over the course of the next couple months to start kind of talking about some future direction that we'll introduce at IOD in Vegas, you know, the real focus on, you know, bringing business analytics into the current age of kind of user expectations for social computing, for collaboration, for the integration of some of these great capabilities like SPSS right into the platform, further, you know, driving innovation in a, right in around the platform set of capabilities. I think what we're doing in the area of integration with TM1, some of the great work that's going on in TM1, which, as you know, has become such a critical part of our platform, and we intend it to be an even bigger part of our platform going forward. So I think, you know, Delaney, from the set of capabilities that we assembled and making sure those are broad and large enough to step up to the smarter agenda with solutions and the focus around addressing industry and functional areas, and with the, you know, kind of new directions around user interaction, user expectations, around social computing and collaboration, and of course the core set of capabilities of making sure that, you know, advanced analytics is completely embraced in our business analytics platform, I think sets a very broad strategy for us going forward here.
Now, if you think back just briefly to Rome, you were at the SPSS Directions Conference. You were also at the business analytics component of IOD EMEA. Met with a lot of customers, a lot of partners. What are they excited about right now?
Well, I think, I mean, you have two different audiences. You have the SPSS audience wondering, well, what's IBM all about? What's IBM going to do to the SPSS capability and team? And and I think we did a good job in the, you know, 2 days that, that led up to IOD Vegas, which was the SPSS Directions Conference. And we really focused our energy on, you know, making sure that our SPSS customers felt comfortable like our SPSS employees. And felt, you know, first of all, that they played an important role in the strategy. Second of all, that we have plans to grow and enhance the capability. And third, that we were looking for their input into solution areas and how we can drive the platform and whatnot. So from an SPSS customer perspective, I think the early directions conference that we had in Vegas not long after we closed the transaction, or maybe just a little bit before we closed it, and this conference were two good opportunities to get in front of the customers to just to, you know, settle them down, make them sure they felt okay. The Cognos customers that attended IOD in Rome and those SPSS customers that stayed over, I think the feedback I got from them was, you know, one, excitement with the pace of innovation. Mm-hmm. I was joined on stage for our keynote with Leah McMillan. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so we walked through from the beginning to end new capabilities, what's in the labs, some of the advanced capabilities around social analytics. Mm-hmm. And the feedback I got was, first of all, embracing the strategy, mm-hmm. you know, that was, as I said, is analytics writ large, excitement about the innovation, mm-hmm. Wanting to know more, you know, about, you know, the kind of innovation. I know that the response to DM6 was mm-hmm. outstanding. I mean, DM6 is a, I think light bulbs go off all over the place when people see Decision Management 6 because mm-hmm. They have such a great visualization of what our strategy is.
Mm-hmm. Now, we've always talked for a long time about the business intelligence, performance management, business analytics journey. If you were say a potential customer or client looking at all of these offerings, where do you start the journey now with all these new capabilities and new data?
Well, I think that depends on what you're after in terms of your outcome, where you are in your maturity cycle. Mm-hmm. I mean, fortunately, every customer is different. I always tell customers, if they're new to this, to start easy, mm-hmm. you know, get a win. You know, if you look at the way that we've characterized our set of capabilities, from the ability to inform people mm-hmm. about, you know, what's going on in their business, the ability to connect to that with analysis to mm-hmm. quickly learn why and, you know, seek out trends and causal factors, the ability then to take those insights and impact process, mm-hmm. and from there to make sure that the outcome of that really aligns with strategic goals. Mm-hmm. Those are kind of the path. And every customer's on a different part of that journey. Some customers are, you know, they're gaining insights every day and trying to learn how to instantiate those insights into processes that impact the business. Other customers are still having trouble getting information out to their mm-hmm. their users. So, you know, we all know that for a long time, a lot of, you know, the traditional business analytics agenda started with just reporting. People wanting to get the information out to users. Mm-hmm. I think we're past that.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of companies that are still struggling just with getting broad-scale reporting out. I think more and more we're trying to see customers go from the line of business back into IT. So they go mm-hmm. from the outcome, whether it be risk management, whether it be, you know, fraud, whether it be, you know, assortment planning and retail, mm-hmm. back into the platform. So I would say more and more we're advising customers, let's find the business problem that's important mm-hmm. to you. Let's work from that business problem back in to the capabilities. And 10 years ago, we were working from the capabilities out.
Oh, this is what we can do.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
You can learn more about business intelligence software from IBM at ibm.com/cognos.
Connect with IBM Business Analytics on Twitter, LinkedIn, and YouTube from our new Business Analytics community pages on ibm.com. Share ideas and connect with your peers. Contribute your views to our rapidly growing group of Cognos and SPSS software experts and users. Simply point your browser to ibm.com/software/analytics/community. That's ibm.com/software/analytics/community.
Well, that's a wrap. I'd like to thank our guest today. From IBM, Rob Ash. From SPSS, an IBM company, Deepak Avani. And from Mesquita and Roundel, Bruce Bueno de Mesquita. Thanks as well to our segment producer, Delaney Turner, and to our head producer, composer, and audio engineer, Derek Schreiner. Come visit us at radiocognos.com. You can follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/IBMCognos. And check out our new community pages at ibm.com/software/analytics/community. I thank you for listening. I'm Ken Seeley, and we'll see you in about 6 weeks.
IBM Business Analytics is now on Twitter. Ideas, insights, and opinions on business analytics. Follow IBM Cognos and IBM SPSS for the latest news, blog posts, offers, and event information.
from the people who shape the industry. Insights into business analytics from the people who shape the industry. This is BI Radio.